The Ewan Grant Podcast, the Limestone Coast Triple M.
G'day, it's Ewan. Welcome to the Ewan Grant Podcast and welcome to everyone joining me on the Listener app. This week, there's been some great news for sporting clubs in the electorate of MacKillop. Nick McBride, the member for MacKillop, joins me to chat all about it. The South Australian Police have been busy on the weekend targeting Hoon drivers. Jade Hill from SAPOL will give us all the details in a moment. And I'm going to introduce you to the brand new manager of the Riddoch Arts and Cultural Centre. Let's get it all underway. Nick McBride, the member for MacKillop, he joins me for a chat. Nick, g'day.
Good morning, Ewan.
Hey, Nick, there's been some great news for some sporting clubs in the electorate of MacKillop. What's going on?
Oh, look, very, very exciting news just recently. Nearly $1 million worth of grants are rolling out to four sporting clubs that most people will know quite well around our region and to help obviously build up these sporting clubs, keep up the infrastructure and keep these clubs as strong as possible. But not only that, you know, attracting, you know, the members and the participation that everything the Limestone Coast has with all the sporting opportunities that we are allowed to indulge in.
And Nick, as you say, it's not a small chunk of change that these clubs are receiving.
No, they're not. No, there's like as I said, it's nearly $1 million just in MacKillop alone. The biggest one here is the Mundalla Football Club with $445,000. That's the actual government component of this grant. So I'd imagine, and I haven't seen all the detail of this build, but it'd be nearly $1 million build. And we've had just give the listeners some intel there. You know, there's been nearly $1 million spent at the Kalangadoo Sporting Club. There's been nearly $1 million spent at the Tintinara Football Sporting Club there as well, and looks like Mandela's going out and building all new change rooms for unisex opportunities, plus office space, plus umpire rooms, plus more storage, and it looked like it, at the end of it, I'd imagine it's going to be a magnificent build.
Now, Nick, who else is going to receive cash from these grants in MacKillop?
So we have Bordertown Football Club. They're receiving $230,000. This is also going to help redevelop their club rooms and replace, just basically generally infrastructure. I've been into the Bordertown club rooms as an umpire that I do, and it'll be a welcome upgrade there to the club rooms and facilities. Then we also have the Mount Burr Football Club. They are looking to receive around $120,000 to replace lighting. So no doubt, I imagine most of the lighting will be used for training purposes through the winter cold depths of months that we have here. And no doubt the players, everything from the juniors right through the senior players will be a welcome addition to their club or their oval facilities to keep that lighting up to standard. And then the McLaughlin's Park Sports park there at the cricket ground in Millicent and receiving $96,000, nearly $100,000. And this is going towards a synthetic cricket pitch and upgrade to club room facilities as well. And just bearing in mind then, Ewan, that, you know, these sums that we've rolled out are all having to be, you know, participated with other club funds. And no doubt, usually the grants usually represent around 50%, but sometimes they represent less. So these are major upgrades to these four sporting club facilities around our region, and no doubt the residents of the Limestone Coast will appreciate them. And the other thing about this too, Ewan, is it's not just the local towns. Like when people travel far around the whole of the leagues, the Mid-South East Football Club League, the Carrie-Narra Court Football League, the cricketing clubs, they'll all get to participate. Not just Millicent and the town that this belongs to, but all the local towns around will get to use these facilities.
Hey, Nick, it is fantastic that that the funds have been made available for these sporting clubs across the Limestone Coast and the area of MacKillop. And just talking about the area of MacKillop, I hear that your electorate is going to grow somewhat.
It is. So the boundary today, just basically touches right to the southern end of the Southern Mallee, so which just includes Tintinara, Kanalpin, across sort of to north of Meningie, and then right across to the Murray Mouth. After this state election, and obviously will be part of my election campaign, Ewan, it will take in all of the Coorong Council, which will take in East Wellington and Tailem Bend. And then we also then pick up all the Southern Mallee area, which is areas like Pinaroo, Lamaroo, Geranium, Peak, and other small towns up there, which will all become part of MacKillop. Which what it does to other electorates is that I take the seat of Hammond, areas away from the seat of Hammond. Hammond no longer meets the Victorian border, and the Hammond electorate moved closer into the Adelaide Hills and takes in the town Strathalbyn. And so, yeah, look, the MacKillop electorate's basically growing by another 3,000 extra constituents and electors. And certainly the footprint that I'll having to be looking after, Ewan, will increase.
Mate, more miles on the road, I can guarantee.
It will be, and a different area, a different dynamic, and there's a hell of a horticultural industry up around that southern Mallee area with massive big infrastructure in onions and potatoes up there in those that northern Mallee area, which will be part of MacKillop coming this March election.
Nick McBride, the member for MacKillop, with some great news for sporting clubs in the Limestone Coast, and well, his job is going to get a whole lot harder after the election for 2022. It's time to introduce you to the brand new manager of the Riddoch Arts and Cultural Centre. Diana, good morning.
Hello, how are you?
I am good. Diana, what brings you to the role of manager of the Riddoch Arts and Cultural Centre?
Oh, I've got a bit of a love of regional galleries, actually. I grew up in South Australia, north of Adelaide, and we always had to travel to Adelaide if we wanted to get a hit of visual arts. And so it's always been in the back of my mind to come home and see what I can do to help bring visual arts to the region.
So tell me a little bit about you and your background then. Where have you been to come back to South Australia?
Well, I moved across to Canberra, actually, and I studied at the Australian National University and then got a couple of jobs. I worked at the National Portrait Gallery. I worked at the Australian War Memorial and spent about 10 years in Canberra before being lured up to Queensland.
What was it like working in Canberra at such prestigious, I suppose, artistic sites?
Oh, well, it was fantastic. So I started in visitor services, which was giving lots of tours, particularly to school groups, which is a fantastic way to really get to know a collection. And then I moved into curating exhibitions. Working at the War Memorial was pretty special. They have an ongoing commissioning program where we commission artists to go into war zones and peacekeeping operations. And so I was involved in that program, which was pretty exciting.
Mm, absolutely. So what took you to Queensland and what were you doing up there?
Well, I had always wanted to work in a regional gallery. And it's quite funny, I was on a ski trip to Canada and I was halfway down a slope and I just got this lightning bolt moment where it was like, you've got to leave Canberra, you've got to get out. And and so I did, and I took the first job that came up, which was curator at Rockhampton Art Gallery.
And how was that?
Well, it was a bit of an eye-opener going to the Beef Capital, but it kind of got under my skin and I came to really love Rocky. It's a beautiful town with some fabulous colonial architecture. And it's got a fabulous collection. And so we did some really great projects there. And, yeah, they've now got a new museum, actually. So I went back and was as a curatorial consultant quite recently.
Now, Diana, I've got to ask, you've only been in the Limestone Coast for a couple of weeks. How are you finding the Limestone Coast and the Blue Lake City?
Oh, I love it. It's beautiful. Everyone is so friendly and welcoming. And I think there's a real sense of genuineness and pride about the place. Lots of beautiful natural assets. And, it's a lovely town.
And have you had the chance to take a little bit of a faucet or a fossick in the Riddoch collection so far and take a look at what you now are controlling?
Yeah, I have. The curator here, Serena, has given me a tour. Yeah, the Gooch collection is fascinating, and there's some local artists as well who, like Kathleen Eakins, for instance, some of her works were a bit of a discovery, so it's nice to see that that it's a collection that is outward-looking but also can support collecting local artists as well.
Watch this space. It's going to be a fantastic year for the Riddoch Art and Cultural Centre. Time to head to the South Australian Police. Jade Hill is from SAPOL. She joins me for a chat. Good morning, Jade.
Good morning, Ewan. How are you?
Yeah, good. Now, Jade, first of all, there was a traffic operation over the course of the weekend and lots of locals were nabbed.
Yeah, so a driver was arrested for extreme speed after being detected at Mount Gambier, and he was just one of three arrests over the weekend during a local police operation targeting hoon driving and dangerous road use. So on the 14th and 15th of January, Highway Patrol, Traffic Services Branch and our local Limestone Coast Police were deployed throughout Mount Gambier to detect Hoon driving. And just before 10:30pm on Saturday the 15th of January, a vehicle was detected travelling in excess of 160 kilometres per hour in a 110 kilometre per hour zone on the Princes Highway. The vehicle's tyres were spiked and the driver and passenger ran from the car in Ramsey Avenue. Police patrols searched the area and quickly arrested the alleged driver, a 26-year-old man, and his passenger, a 24-year-old man. Both men are from Mount Gambier. The driver was charged with aggravated extreme speed and driving in a manner dangerous to evade police and was refused police bail to appear in Mount Gambier Magistrates Court on Monday the 17th of January. And he also tested positive to methamphetamine and the sample was sent to for forensic testing. The passenger was charged with hinder police and bailed to appear in court on the 22nd of February. So during the operation, a total of 3 people were arrested. 5 people were reported for traffic offences. 5 drivers were caught drink driving and 8 motorists detected positive to drugs. 3 people were caught driving unlicensed or disqualified and police issued 3 instant licence disqualifications. 5 vehicles were impounded and a total of 33 expiation notices and 41 defect notices were issued. So our Inspector Carmen Conway, Operations Manager of the Limestone Coast Local Service Area, said it's disappointing that the vast majority of drivers caught allegedly breaking the law are actually Mount Gambier residents. These are people in our community who, through their actions, create unsafe roads, putting everyone at risk, and that you are driving according to the road rules. So we encourage the community to report irresponsible driving and assist our local police in making our roads safer for all to use. So, Ewan, the offence of extreme speed commenced on the 16th of January 2021. It is a new offence, and there's 2 offence categories, being basic and aggravated. And there is imprisonment involved around those offences as maximum penalty. So we're trying to make sure our road users are doing the right thing. But another thing I wanted to mention too was a bit of an interesting message being sent by somebody in the community with the wheelie bin down on Panola Road outside Frew Park.
I did see that. Die.
Yeah, so we're not the only ones that are fed up with it. It seems our community are quite tired of it as well and hoping that this sort of behaviour will stop.
Absolutely. Now, Jade, one of the talking topics of the last 36-odd hours has been the licensed premises in Robe that was nabbed.
Yeah, so on Saturday the 15th of January, investigators from our licensing enforcement branch were undertaking some COVID-19 compliance duties. They did issue a $5,000 fine to a licensed venue in Robe for breaches of the Emergency Management Activities Direction. It will be alleged late on Friday the 14th of January the venue was not complying with social distancing requirements and the wearing of masks. And it's further alleged that many patrons were standing for consumption and some singing and dancing. The alleged breaches within the licensed premises represented aggravated behaviours contrary to the state coordinator's direction and are a focus of Operation Limit. So the failure for the venue to comply does potentially put the public and staff at risk. So the breaches of the Emergency Management Act will be referred to the Liquor and Gaming Commissioner for consideration for further action under the Liquor Licensing Act as well. Mm. And our licensing enforcement branch officers will continue to focus efforts within the Limestone Coast and other areas where suspected breaches of directions are occurring. So you and I suppose our community, be it business or patrons, need to be aware Operation Limit is continuing. There will be ongoing patrolling and response to non-compliance. People need to make sure that they are wearing masks appropriately as per the directions, and especially COVID marshals need to be wearing their identification and conducting their duties and their role appropriately. There will be ongoing attention in the region for sure.
Hey Jade, it is always good to catch up for a chat.
Thanks for having me, and everybody stay safe.
That's it for today's podcast. I'll be back Friday morning with everything Limestone Coast. Don't forget to catch up with everything happening across the Limestone Coast. Make sure you look out for the Mount Gambier Local Guide on Listener. You can catch up with me live on the radio, 6 a.m. weekday mornings on the Limestone Coast 963 Triple M.